Have your Bibles this morning. Turn to John chapter 8, verse 1. John chapter 8, verse 1. Let's stand in honor of reading God's Word. John chapter 8, verse 1. Everybody there? And the Word says, "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he went to the temple complex again. All the people were coming to him. He sat down and began to teach. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, making her stand in the center." Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord. And again, Lord, I pray for those that are out this morning, Lord God, and pray for those that are sick. And God, I just pray that none of the rest of us get sick, Lord, but God, that we get through this coronavirus, Lord God. And Father, I come to you, and I just thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house. I thank you, Lord, for, God, the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit, Lord God, and answer your call to preach the gospel, Lord. And God, I preach it, Lord God, to obey you, Lord God. And Father, I pray that you use me as a mouthpiece to your people, Lord God, and you speak through me, Lord God, to your people. And God, not for me, God, but for your glory and for your awesomeness, Lord God. And Father, I just give you the praise for that, Lord. And I pray that your people, Lord, would not listen to me, Lord God, but listen to your word, Lord God, and what your word says. And God, apply your word, God. Do what your word says, Lord God, not only be hearers. And Father, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it all. In your name we pray. Amen. Talk a minute about the scribes and the Pharisees of the time where the scribes were. They were letter writers. They were literary people. They were like copiers. The Pharisees would give them the words to say, and they would analyze it and make sure that everything was right according to the Jewish law. And the Pharisees were members of the Jewish council, one of the highest orders of the Jewish religious order. And they were over all the ceremonies, and so everything that they wrote, including from the manuscripts as the Bible was written, the Pharisees would give the word, and the scribes would write the word. So that's who these people were. And I want a little bit about the scribes and the Pharisees. They were, the only word I can think about today is to give you, they were like the Republicans and the Democrats. They were somebody, they thought. They thought that everything that they'd done was perfect. And now Jesus Christ had came into the world. He was walking, he was teaching and preaching, and he was teaching something that was against everything that they had taught. So on the contrary, they were mad at this Jesus, and they were trying to prove him wrong in every situation. And I think the story of this lady here is that it gives you and I example, and in so many ways, a lot of the church is like the scribes and the Pharisees. You got a lot of these old big churches, and some of the deacons and the pastors and some of the people that have been there so many years think that they know more than anybody else does. And if somebody comes into the church that they really don't like, they'll turn their nose up to them. I mean, they'll turn their nose up to him. I told y'all a couple weeks ago about that friend of mine that was a DPS officer, and the deacon told him when he went out the door, "You need to buy better clothes next week." Well, he ain't been back to church since. But that's kind of the way these people were. They had their head in the air. They thought they were better than anybody else. They were smarter. They were dressed better. Everything about them was better than everybody else. So Jesus is in the temple courts. He's been teaching the people. And so they bring this lady. And let me read the scripture. It says, "Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, making her stand in the center." So they brought this woman right in the center. Jesus is over here, and he's probably teaching a lot of people, and they just throw this woman in between him and the people. And the rest of the next scripture says, it says, "Teacher," they said to him, "this woman was caught in the act of committing adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. So what do you say?" So they bring this woman and they throw her in the midst of Jesus, right in the middle. Just like, it'd be just like just say we had some high and mighty deacons. Some young man was out there last night and got drunk and got a DWI, and they went to Cold Springs and got him and throwed him right down here in front. Now, what are we going to do with him? The same thing. What are we going to do with him? He was drunk last night. And there his wife and kids is sitting here in church this morning. But he was drunk last night. What do you say? I want us to pay close attention to what Jesus tells these people. Remember, Jesus is King of Kings. He don't take nothing off of nobody. He tells it just the way it is. And I believe it. As I stand behind this pulpit this morning, that's the only way that any preacher should do is tell it the way it is. And if the way it is hurts you, then that's between you and God. It's not between me and you. Because I'm going to only tell you what God says. So they throw this woman in the midst of them, and they say, according to the law. Well, according to the law, the speed limit out here on this highway, I think, is 65, maybe 70. But you could drive 80 if you want to. That don't stop nothing. But it's just a law. It's just a posted law. So they throw this woman at Jesus' feet. And I like this part here. I got into this in a seminary class on this very scripture. It says, they asked this to trap him. They wanted to trap Jesus. They thought, and believe me, people, right now today, there are people that sit in churches today all over this United States of America, and I only know how to describe them as having a $500 suit on and a silk tie, and their wife is dressed up to the hilt and got all the jewelry on, and they both got leather Bibles, and they know every word in them. They think. And so, these people are, I'm going to stop right in the middle of that. Lord, correct me. I'm not saying it's okay to dress up and come to church. That ain't what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about this morning is knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, knowing who Jesus is. You see, they done this to trap Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. They are going to trap Jesus Christ. And there are people here today will take this word. There are preachers in the pulpit that will take this word. There are Sunday school teachers, thank God not here, but there are teachers and philosophers that will take this word and try and tell Jesus, that ain't what it means, this is what it means. I'm smarter than you. They threw this woman at his feet, trying to trap him in order that they may have evidence to accuse him. They wanted to get rid of this Jesus. This is real neat right here. Jesus stooped down and started writing on the ground with his finger. There's been all kind of talk throughout history what Jesus wrote on the ground. The seminary professor that I had, and he traced it back through all of his studies and all the stuff, said that Jesus drew the fish on the ground, which was a symbol of him and the church, him and his apostle, that was togetherness. He just sat down on the ground and just drew this fish. And I could see Jesus sitting there, standing there. And he looked up. He said, verse 7 says, when they persisted in questioning him, he stood up and said to them, this is it, people. When they heard this, let me stop, verse 8. Then he stooped down again and continued writing on the ground. Let me back up one more. I'll get it right in a minute. I'm going to start at verse 7. When they persisted in questioning him, he stood up and said to them, this one without sin, if there is one without sin among you, he cast the first stone. In other words, if anybody in here, and in James it says, is there, James chapter 1, it says, if there's one among you that is without sin, in other words, if there's one among you that is perfect, then you cast the first stone. He looked up at these old Pharisees and scribes. They got their robes on and their purple hats. I got a picture of me on them purple hats in Israel when I was over. They got this purple hats about that tall. And they're standing in their purple hats and their white robes and their sashes on. And Jesus looked up at them and said, okay, boy, if one of you is without sin, then you pick up the stone and hit her. And the word says, from the smartest, the Pharisees were the first ones to leave. The ones that had, in other words, Jesus called them out. Jesus said, if there's one among you that is without sin, you cast the first stone. And from the smartest one to the least smartest one, they begin to walk away. The scripture says that, again, when they heard this, they left one by one, starting with the older men. Only he was left with the woman in the center. So they said, you know, whoa. What do you think made them do that? You ever think about that? What do you think made them men do that? I mean, they were scribes. They were Pharisees. They were educated as much as you could get educated in the world and the religion in the day that they lived. They were the top. Why do you think they backed off? I think it's the same reason that you and I back off sometimes when we make a mistake, when we say something that we shouldn't say, and Jesus calls our hand on it. Jesus ever called your hand on anything? I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ is alive and well today, and the same Jesus that made them get up and leave will make you change your life. This can make you change your life this morning. And once you become a Christian, if you want to make a deal with Jesus Christ, that's good. But I'm going to tell you one thing. He will make you do what he says in one way or the other. Can you imagine how embarrassed they were? Jesus was in the temple court. He had all these people standing there and he was teaching. They come up with this woman. They threw her on the ground in front of him. And I know the girl was embarrassed. She was crying. She was hurting. She was wrapped up in her sin and they just slung her down on the ground. What do we do about this? And Jesus tells them, let me tell you what you do. If you don't have no sin, or you throw the first stone. If you don't, hit it. You know, Jesus, I'm talking about the power of God, and a lot of you, maybe people in here is not saved. But I'm going to tell you something. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you begin to grow and mature in Christianity, I don't care whether you need to quit talking bad, you need to quit whatever it is that Jesus leads you that you need to do. If you will ask him to do it, he will do it. But every time that you fail Jesus, he is going to remind you just like he did these guys. I'll tell you something that just happened very real in my life, and you can see it. Last February the 2nd, I asked God, I got down on my knees in my bedroom. I said, Lord, I have got to lose this weight. I have been big all my life. My sugar is 240 and 300. My blood pressure's high. My knees are, I can't walk. I weighed 448 pounds. And I said, Lord, please help me. And he began to help me. And then I have lost 126 pounds the last time I went to the doctor. And the other day, Christmas time, I said, okay, I'm going to quit eating 2 days. So I quit eating for about 5 days. And after them 2 days, Jesus began to let me know, hey. And I got on my knees again last Monday. I said, Lord, not Friday night. I said, Lord, I got to get back on track. We still got these cookies laying around, all this stuff. I got to have one. And I was eating, and I was sitting, Joanna, we had some deer meat, some fried venison. And I need about 4 pounds of that anyway. But I had ate my share, and I went to take a bite, and something told me, and I believe you may say, he's crazy. Something told me, don't put that in your mouth. Don't take another bite tonight. I believe with all of my heart that was Jesus Christ, the same one that told these Pharisees and these scribes to get up and walk off. I know that was him. And I didn't. And that night, I went in the kitchen, And that deer meat was in the icebox in a bag, and I want to get a, don't get another bite. It wasn't just one. Every time I think about that deer meat, he said, not another bite. He told these Pharisees, if you don't have no sin in you, well, then you go on. And from the oldest to the most intelligent to the youngest, they began to walk off. And the word says, when Jesus stood up, he said to the woman, where are they? He wouldn't even pay no attention to them. He was just telling them what to do. They left because they knew they didn't have no sin. Why do you think they knew they didn't have no sin? Was it their conscience or was it the Holy Spirit of God telling them, look, you can't, I believe with all my heart it was the Holy Spirit of God in them. You see, they knew who God was. They believed in God, but they didn't believe in it. They believed in the law. And they were looking for the Messiah to come, but the Messiah was going to come back and be King of Kings on the earth. And it was going to be over. That wasn't the way it was. They wanted it to be that way. So they decided that they would, you know, they would try to push Jesus out of the way because they didn't like him. Just like a lot of preachers and teachers, philosophers, college professors are pushing the Bible out of the way. They're still pushing Jesus out of the way. They're still making fun of it. But Jesus stood there with that woman. Where are they at? Has no one condemned you? Where's your condemner at? And Jesus looked at her and he said, neither do I condemn you. Go from now on and do not sin anymore. Jesus just simply told her, go. What do we do when we see a... I know. I mean, I can tell you what I do, or what I've done, what I still do sometimes. Now, I try to bridle myself. What do you do when you see a wino under the bridge? What do you do when you see someone that's hurting, that really needs your help, and you say, I ain't gonna help that old thing. We done helped them 50 times. I've done this, I've done that. How many times in my ministry in the last 40-something years have I paid somebody's electricity bill 15 times and they keep on coming back and I'll say, that's it. And in churches I've pastored, three churches I've pastored, we have said, no, we ain't paying them no more. And every time I do that, the Holy Spirit gets out of them because you know what Jesus said? He'll never quit forgiving us. He'll never quit helping us. He is there to help us. He is there to tell us. He is there to show us a way. And so, why do we as God's people do that? We call ourselves God's people. A family is hurting. Jesus just showed us in the scripture, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. He being Jesus, he could have told, yeah, y'all kill her. But that wasn't what Jesus represented. He didn't represent man, he represented God. And God loved that woman and he told her, you go your way and you sin no more. That's all he told her. Can you imagine what those Pharisees and those scribes thought? Made them look like idiots. But you know what? That's the same thing you and I do when we do something crazy. You know, we get mad, we throw a fit, we talk about somebody. Jesus did not do that. And we wonder, we talk, you know, Jesus says, love everybody. There's some scripture in James chapter 1 I want to read that the Lord led me to just then. My dearly beloved brothers, understand this. He said, understand this. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. God's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. In other words, there's nothing you or I can say or do against someone that will accomplish God's law or what God wants us to do unless we're loving them. Well, he said love them. He didn't. I got a preacher friend, and there's no telling how many boys that he has taken in that have been on drugs, and girls too, but mostly boys. That he, 17 or 18, he brought in his house and raised, and some of them adopted because he has a passion for them kids. What we don't realize is that we, as God's people, a lot of us have been blessed beyond anything. I mean, anything you can't even. I can't think back in my life, and even though I've lost a granddaughter at an early age, even though I've lost my mom and dad, I look at my life and my health and my. I have been blessed beyond anything that I could have ever imagined. But there's always somebody on the other side that's got it worse than you. And God said, you be slow to open your mouth about one of my children, because every one of them, whether oh high and mighty Christian that goes to Sunday school every Sunday and church every Sunday, and every time a door's open, whether you don't like it or not, I love them. And we as God's people must love them. I don't care who they are. God don't care. He told them, he said, if one of y'all are clear of sin, then you just go on and you throw the first stone. And they walked off. And these were the religious leaders. This wasn't the church. This was the leaders. They knew they had sin in their life. And every one of us sitting in here this morning, we know that we got sin in our life. We know that we're not perfect. But I can tell you how to be perfect. By the blood of Jesus Christ. By accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He can make you perfect. We will never be perfect. We can't give enough money. We can't know enough Bible. We can't come to church enough. We can't do any of the good stuff enough to make it to heaven. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. God says in verse 21 in James chapter 1, he says, therefore rid yourself of all moral, filthy, and evil. Get rid of it. Throw it away. Get it off your mind. When it comes to your mind, think of something else. Just like me and my eating. Like, I mean, and you can say, if you had never been as big as I was, and still big, you don't realize what it is. But I'm going to tell you something. Eating, being a foodaholic or whatever you want to call it, a food addict, is no different than being a drug addict. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. And I couldn't do it on my own, but once I invited Jesus Christ into my life and I meant it, and I showed him that I wanted to do it and I was willing to put forth effort, then he done it for me and it made it almost easy. But and it goes with whatever it is. You know, I'm not going to stand up here this morning and tell you what sin is. God, you know what sin is. Them Pharisees and Sadducees knew what sin is. You know in your life, if God tells you to quit doing something, you need to quit it. But you cannot quit it on your own. I've heard people say, I'm not picking on this subject. I've heard people say, I got to quit smoking. You are never going to quit smoking. Never. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ and only by giving it to him. I got one young man here that was he's not here this morning. He was, when I first got here, he was a terrible drug addict. Him and his wife smoked. I've seen them stand out there under that tree when I first got here one Sunday. They were standing under that tree with an umbrella and it was lightning and thunder. I mean, it was a bad spring thunderstorm, and they's getting the last drag off that cigarette. And one Sunday I was preaching, he came and he laid them cigarettes right there on that altar. And he has never touched another one, and he had got off of drugs. He has got a good job. His wife's got a good job. And they're still going to church here. And they have adopted two or three kids. That, see, God, if you want to do it, God don't play. He's telling these Pharisees. And he's, I'm not playing. If you are completely free of sin, get that biggest rock over there and bust it right upside the head. They couldn't do it because their conscience wouldn't let them because they knew they had sin in their life. But what we got to realize, even Jesus told her, go your way and sin no more. The only way she would never sin no more is to accept him as her Savior. That's the only way. That's the only way that it'll ever happen. And Jesus Christ can do that. But he said, you got to show me, you got to, in this verse, therefore rid yourself of all moral filth and evil. Humbly receive the implanted word which is able to save you. The implanted word. What does that mean? God's word, I believe, is implanted. I believe that there is something in each and every one of us that wants to do good, that wants to be right. And that is what God has implanted in every one of us. And he gave us the authority to go wherever we wanted to do whatever we wanted to do. He told Adam and Eve, all this is yours. Don't eat of the tree. You got it all. He told each and every one of us, this is God's word. This is Jesus Christ, his son. Accept him and don't sin and you'll go to heaven. It is your choice to do that. But we have got to rid ourselves. We've got to show God that we want to do it. And God will do it. I was in an evangelism conference in Fort Worth, Texas, back in the 70s. And there's a woman, I can't even think of her name. But she's still in the ministry. Every day at lunch break, we'd have, a regular service 2 in the morning. About 11:30, 12 o'clock, we'd break and go eat lunch. Gabby Mason. There's this woman standing out in front of the convention center in downtown Fort Worth. Her name was Gabby Mason. Gabby. Whatever it is, Mason, Miss Mason. I can't say Gabby, Gabby Hayes. But anyway, these preachers would go out there and they'd pass out tracts. And she came up that morning, or that day at noon, and she looked at them, and they handed her a tract, and she walked off about 15 foot. She was a prostitute, living on the street. And she read that tract, and she came back to them, and she wanted to get saved, and she got saved. And she was so good in her speech and talkative to people, and they saw something in her, and they invited her that night to come back to the convention center in the big shindig with all the Pharisees and Sadducees. Everybody in the Baptist, the Southern Baptists of Texas, was up on the stage that could call themselves anybody in the Baptist church. They invited her to come up there. And she said she sure would. And they bought her a dress, and they got her a hotel room. And she come up to that microphone that night and she began to tell her testimony. And I hope I don't offend nobody this morning, but this is what she said in front of 50,000 people and all them preachers from Ed Young all the way down. She said, I want to tell y'all something tonight. She said, I was a prostitute. And some of them people out there that y'all got here, is this what she taught? They gave me a tract this morning. I read that tract. And I walked about 15 foot and something hit me and I come back and I got down on my knees. She said, I got down on my knees as a prostitute, and that's not the word she used, and I got up an angel. Amen. And she's still going to church to give her testimony today. Just because somebody... It wasn't none of them big preachers up on the stage, I guarantee you that. Because some of the lay people in some of the churches in Fort Worth was passing out these tracts, that woman changed her whole life. She'd been to churches, that's all she does. I knelt down as a prostitute, and I got up as an angel. This morning, we're going to play a song of invitation. You, whatever walk of life you're in, Get down on your knees right here and just say, Jesus, forgive me. I have messed it up. I believe you're the Son of God. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. You died. You went to that cross for me. You arose from the grave and you've gone to prepare a place for me. And you're going to come back. And I want to trust you with the rest of my life. That's what you got to do. That's all you got to do. He said, Jesus said that nothing, not nothing, there's nothing in the world that will take you away from him. There's not famine or pestilence or disease, nothing that will ever take you out of his hand. When he gets you, he's got you. And you're changed. And that woman, what's her name one more time?
Babby.
Babby Mason is still today, somewhere this morning, and she sings too, standing in front of a church and praising God and telling people that same old testimony. I got down as a prostitute and come up as an angel. You can get down as a sinner, an alcoholic, a drug addict, family problem, money problem. I'm not going to tell you you're going to get down as a broke and owing everybody and you're going to go home, all your bills are going to be paid. That's not what I'm telling you. Contrary to what the TV preacher tell you, you get down and you give your life to God, and God, you put God first in your life, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and he will take care of you. You got to be patient. He'll take care of you. In his time, he'll take care of you. That's all you got to do. Your whole life will change. Mine did. God is here this morning. He sent his son Jesus Christ at the cross, and Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God, is right here in this church. And it is that's telling you right now. I have people every Sunday, you're talking right at me. No, I wasn't. God is. All he wants you to do is say, Father, forgive me. You can do it where you're sitting at. You don't have to come down here. But he says, if you confess him, you're going to let everybody know. I promise you, if you get saved, if you give your life to the Lord, you can't be quiet about it. It's like getting a new car. It's like getting a new Mercedes or something. New deer rifle. You're going to tell somebody about it. You're going to tell somebody. Father, Lord, I come to you this morning and I praise you and honor you. Thank you, Lord, for those that are here. And I pray, Lord, if your word has not failed on deaf ears, Lord God, but we'd take your word, God, and we'd apply it to our lives. And Father, help us this morning to, God, each and every one of us to do more for you, Lord God. And God, when you tell us to witness to somebody, God, help us to do it, Lord. Help us to understand, Lord God, how important it is. God, I pray that if there's one in here that doesn't know you, God, that they come down here, God, or where they're at, God, that they'd just come to you, Lord God, and just confess their sins and just ask you in their life, Lord. And God, I know what your word said in John 3:16, that you love the world, that you gave your only son, that whoever, no matter who, believes in you, they'll have everlasting life. And God, we trust you with that this morning. And I pray that people are saying that prayer. In your precious name we pray. Amen to God. Thank you, Jesus.